But we've got a guest in the studio this morning.
We do. I was going to say, by the way,
what?
It says,
what?
Well, just on Halloween, rain likely, but mainly before 11 a.m.
Perfect.
So perfect. Hopefully you'll get
bring
a nice gap
out
for
the children
for
and the parents. And we have Cassie Kosarek.
Hello.
How are you, Cassie? We hesitated. Are you going to go out trick-or-treating?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait to go trick-or-treating. No, I'll be at home hoping to get all the trick-or-treaters at my house come by.
Excellent, excellent. And Cassie is here to talk about Sandemonium Light. And that is taking place at the library this Saturday, October 29th, from noon to 4?
That's right. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited to chat about that with you.
Well, we've had you on before, along with Bronwyn, and I think it's just one of the neatest things that happens during the calendar year. So do you want to give listeners who've never heard about Sandemonium in general what it's about, and then we can talk in more detail about Saturday?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So Sandemonium is 7B's only convention for all things nerdy. That is literally what we are known for, what we're trying to portray. Think like a Comic-Con event, a sci-fi convention, an anime convention, all those kind of things melded together. Since we are a smaller community, we create this very safe, wholesome space, especially for the youth, but also adults, to get together and celebrate their fandoms and meet other people that share the same interests in fandom communities. We have cosplay contests. We do tabletop gaming. We do video gaming. We have panels. We have special guest speakers. It's a really fun event. It's an amazing time for people to get together and nerd out.
When was the first one?
Gosh, that had to have been almost 10 years ago. That was before I had even known Sandpoint was a place, to be totally honest.
It's been going on for a little while.
It has, yeah. It originated as a library event, I believe, just for like a comic week. And so many people showed up excited to talk about comic books and nerdiness and do cosplay that it just turned into its own creature and developed from there.
Yeah,
pretty awesome.
How has it? So it started with comic books and just has added on more or less the rest of the elements of what we consider fandom, right?
Yeah. So a lot of pop culture nowadays, especially last time we were on, we discussed how nerdiness has kind of been integrated into our everyday life. Everybody's a nerd to some degree about something. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's really focused on, the anime, comic books, video games, tabletop gaming. We do a lot of D&D, a lot of Pathfinder at our convention events. It's pretty amazing how much passion there is in our little community for all of those niche interests. So it's fun to watch it come out and to see the creativity and just overall knowledge that this community has for those types of pastimes, hobbies.
Yeah. You draw mostly from in Sandpoint, or do people come from around the area for...
Definitely mostly in Sandpoint, but we do pull in from Coeur d'Alene and Spokane area, sometimes even as far as Seattle people will come. We have friends that support Sandemonium that will come in or even tune in. When we did a digital Sandemonium event over COVID, I had friends from Portland tune in and provide panels digitally via online streaming. So that was an interesting evolution to be sure. We're always welcoming to anybody who wants to come and experience our community at Sandemonium and the greater Sandpoint area in 7B.
Yeah. Does it pretty much, is the library open for other business on Saturday, or is it pretty much going to be all Sandemonium?
Oh, no, absolutely. We do take over the library. Yeah. It's a shameless takeover, but they are open for their regular business. Mm-hmm. We almost relied a little bit last time on our last Sandemonium event on that passive traffic coming through and just being introduced to Sandemonium. A big part of doing these light events is regaining our momentum as a large event since COVID kind of put a halt to everything. And people relearning about Sandemonium and discovering it. So we love that the library is going to be open. It'll be business as usual, but with a ton of amazing people showing up in cosplay and playing games and being awesome.
Yeah. So what's it actually going to look like? Do you set up inside or just out in the kind of that front area, or?
So we definitely take over that front foyer area. We'll have our registration table out there, and then we take over the teen lounge for our video game tournaments. So it's a very natural location for that. And then the community rooms are our giant kind of game hub, and that's where we do the cosplay contest. And we'll have tables set up in there for Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, and just some other more standard tabletop games, I guess, but also pretty specialized stuff.
And what is your costume?
My costume will be just a Pokemon trainer. It's definitely not the most the most elaborate of the costumes. I keep it pretty casual, but you have a good time. Bulbasaur is my my top Pokemon, so I'll have my Bulbasaur Duncan with me, and yeah, we'll get really nerdy.
Who tell me
you about laughing at me, Jim. Well, who's your favorite Pokemon?
I'm an earlier generation. You know, I was more with comic books, and but I'm sort of fascinated by the elevation or the rise of the nerd. When I was growing up, a nerd was, I don't know if we had the word, but that's somebody who had a slide rule and a pocket guard, you know, for when you put your ballpoint pen in, you don't get ink all over your shirt. And over the years, the elevation of the word nerd to be something like coveted, like that's a group I want to be in. do you have much of a feel for that, Cassie?
Oh, sure. And I remember growing up, at one point, there was a distinct switch in the understanding of the word nerd. And at one point, I was almost a little upset that it almost felt like it was being appropriated. It's like, I suffered so many years in school being picked on, and now everybody gets to be a nerd? How does this work?
Is there anything that you can turn to? Isn't Big Bang Theory a television comedy about nerds?
Mm-hmm. It is. That's true.
And so your nerds came into your homes, your living rooms, everywhere. but I love the concept of being a nerd. And nerd doesn't necessarily, I think it's more generalized now. You can be like a Huckleberry nerd, you know, pursuing huckleberries up in the mountains, I guess.
No, and overall, it's a wonderful thing that our culture flipped the script on being incredibly exclusive to people that had intense interest or passion about things that maybe weren't so mainstream, is what it is. And so suddenly it was cool to have that knowledge and the ability to regale somebody about some niche, strange thing that maybe not everybody's into. And people started bonding over their shared interests. And that's what Sandemonium's really about.
Yeah, not to mention what was once considered nerdy became mainstream as far as, I mean, you know, the box office is dominated by comic book superheroes now, which was not always the case. And there's pros and cons to that as well. I would say, but it's no longer, for sure, it's no longer something that just a select group of people are into. At least that aspect of the culture.
Part of what I can't help but believe is that nerds became a source of money, a way to make money, you know, and that to capitalize in on that, major, you know, like Marvel and DC, the movies that come out now, and like the latest Amazing Spider-Man one, just grossed incredible amounts of money. Once they discovered that, that sort of elevated, you know, people who enjoyed that. You know, I have to admit, you know, I grew up in the 50s, that'd be the 1950s, where, you know, I enjoyed Batman and Superman, and Superman's greatest concern plot line was who would find out his secret identity. Now, you know, that's over the hill. Now I look at with the computer graphics and things like that, and it's a different world out there.
Yeah. I think, to me, I was just thinking about this the other day, that you can, the idea of superheroes dominating the motion picture screen is so tied to technology. You just couldn't depict it this century, before the 21st century. The kind of stories that they're telling now couldn't, you know, the budget just wasn't there. Of course, I mean, there was the Superman movie from 1978, and that was great, but compared to what you see on screen now, the kind of colorful action is...
The wide range of characters. I don't know how you feel about it, Cassie, you know, but I think in one level, Superman is sort of like a passé. It's more of a Batman, Amazing Spider-Man, Iron Man, characters like that.
There's a character for everyone, and that's how the inclusivity of nerdiness has grown, is that there's more people for everyone to relate to. Everyone can find themselves in the Marvel universe, in the DC universe, in Pokemon, in
Tolkien's universe.
Tolkien. Everyone can find themselves there. And it's a great way for people to kind of escape their own reality and celebrate themselves in a way that exists outside of the real world, I think. So that's an interesting point that you bring up, that it's evolved to have so many characters, because I think that's how people have grown and how this community has grown, because it's not just the one little boy from the 50s seeing Superman. It's everyone seeing all of these characters.
Wonder Woman, you know, Wonder Woman. Finally some female role models. You know, when I grew up, it was just Superman and Batman. If there was a woman, it'd be like Poison Ivy or someone like that. Catwoman.
Hey, don't forget Catwoman.
Yeah, Catwoman. Yeah. I think your point is well taken, Cassie, that it is the nerdy universe has gotten so big and peopled in so many ways that everyone can find a home.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're just hoping to do with Sandemonium, is to bring all those individuals together to feel at home together and to share their interests and to be able to talk on the same level with each other about those things, where it might be harder to find those connections in our community. It's not always so obvious who's really into Iron Man, who's really into Pokemon. So that's what you can find here at Sandemonium. You can find your next Dungeons and Dragons campaign. You can find your next Pathfinder campaign. You can find your weekly board game group that you want to meet up with. It's a awesome place for networking in that way.
Yeah. So you mentioned board games that will be going on during the day. What kind of other events are happening? Are there speakers?
Yeah. So we're super excited for this event to welcome Michael Sayer. He's the senior designer for Pathfinder. He's actually coming to visit and to just talk with fans of the Pathfinder game. For anybody who doesn't know, Pathfinder is a, newly developed tabletop role-playing game similar to Dungeons and Dragons. A lot of people equate it to that, but it's got a lot of nuanced rules that allow for sometimes greater character development, more unique character development, and different storylines. There's more flexibility than what you might find in D&D that relies so much on previously built stories. So Michael's going to come. He's going to share with us some of his process as a creative designer for a tabletop RPG, and he'll actually be running our Pathfinder table for the duration, so you can come meet him in person and hang out and pick his brain if you want. It's going to be amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I see a note here for homemade boa.
Bow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's actually one of our board members. Wesley makes amazing bow. Sorry, yeah, I said it wrong, too.
Yeah,
bow. It's steam bun stuffed with savory filling, and they're just so tasty. She made them for our bake sale event that we were on promoting last time, and she blew it out of the water with those bow, and so many people came back and said, when can I have these again? So this is your opportunity. If you've been waiting for the bow, come back and try something new. It's really delicious.
Those are so good.
Yeah.
And much better than a boa.
Yes.
I would say. Though it would be interesting to see what a homemade boa would look like,
yeah,
or, you know, what you were trying to advertise there. Somebody.
Sorry.
somebody making a snake.
I mean, there will probably actually be homemade boas there too with the cosplay. Sure. I would be surprised if we didn't see homemade boas. So.
It does, and this does go. This goes nicely with Halloween. Do you think? Have you had costume contests before?
We do a cosplay contest for every Sandemonium event. It's kind of a staple. It's the climax of the whole event as getting together and, and seeing everybody show off their projects, the creativity involved with making these costumes are incredible. And cosplay is a little bit different than just wearing a costume, right? So a costume, you might be a ghost or a vampire, but a cosplay is explicitly bringing a character to life. So
exactly. I was going to suggest that you become the character rather than just wearing the costume.
Right. Exactly.
And what are some of the more popular right now? I'm sure there's a wave of, I notice when I give out trick-or-treats at the door, princesses are big. Well, they're big every year. But, you know, you can see an ebb and flow. What are some of the, you know, ebbs and flows of cosplay that you're seeing, Cassie?
Oh, gosh. Ebbs and flows of cosplay. So it relates a lot of times to more recent releases, actually, on TV, right? So we saw a lot of Mandalorians after the Mandalorian show came out. A lot of Jokers after the new Joker shows come out. I don't know what we're going to see this time. We did have a couple of Mandalorians last time. We had a couple of Five Nights at Freddy's, which is another video game characters that were the cosplay were amazing. So detailed and vibrant and beautiful. So that was a surprise to me. I didn't realize that we had that much passion for Five Nights at Freddy's here, but we do, and it was really cool to see.
How about I'm in the middle of watching Sandman?
Oh yeah, that's such a good one.
Oh, you know, I am still fixated on episode 6 and 7. You know, I got hooked in the beginning, then 3 and 4, I go but whoa. You know, when I got to, now I still have like 3 or 4 left to go, and I'm savoring them. But Neil Gaiman's Sandman is one of my all-time favorites.
Love Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. So this is based on the comic book that he wrote.
Characters in the comic books that he wrote.
In the the book, I mean, the characters were like early 90s, right? Or maybe late 80s even?
About 90, 91, he came out with the comic book, and Death is in there, and she is so wonderful. She's in the comic book, she's a punk rocker.
I don't remember what the word was for it, but it's more or less a comic book aimed at adults. You hear the word Sandman and you think of the guy in the gas mask with the sleep gun or whatever. But it's about the character, like the personification of the idea of sleep and death. And I can't remember what the other endless are.
But. The realm of sleep, right? The realm of dreams.
Yeah, and you have despair.
Yeah.
And you have desire. And they each have their realms that they are lords in. And it's really complicated about how they appear in each other's dreams and how they control. I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. Could you imagine Sandman's helm as a cosplay?
No.
Oh my gosh, if you saw that in real life, I would lose it. That would be amazing.
That would scare me. But we're here talking with Cassie Kosarek from Sandemonium Light. That'll take place at the library this Saturday, noon to 4. And let's take a music break, and then we'll come back and talk some more. I'd like to talk about the sense of community. And what being a nerd and Sandemonium does for the people themselves. But we're going to take a break. We talked about earlier about the rise of in cinematic world of comic book characters, but a lot of them got their start on television, like Superman and this theme right now. Hey Yeah, that is Neil Hefti Orchestra with the theme from Batman.
It didn't chart, but everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. And yeah. It's one of those, one of the things I want to say that I have always found disappointing, especially in the early Batman movies, mm-hmm. was the portrait of his cape. I mean, okay. The cape is so hard, you know, as when from the comic books and the still pictures, the way his cape and on T-shirts. But when they do it in a lot of the earlier Batman films, they have it stiff. That never worked for me.
So did you like the 60s Batman cape?
No.
No. Yeah, no, I
didn't that like the television series where he became camp, you know, where he'd hit somebody and you'd see pow, and that sort of thing. No, I always took my Batman seriously.
And so when the 89 Batman came out, was that did you appreciate that film with the Nicholson Joker and Michael Keaton as Batman?
Do you want to know something? That what I have enjoyed more than the Batman character, outside of they never get his cape right, mm-hmm. are the villains.
Oh, yeah. Villains are amazing.
I think Heath Ledger's Joker, that he won, I think, Best Supporting Actor for, scared me. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think it's his villains, you know, that and then, of course, what? Joaquin Phoenix, a couple of years ago, won the Best Actor for his mm-hmm. Joker. Mm-hmm. You know, the villains, you know, become sort of mirrors for Batman, and that's what makes a great villain, is for the major character that it becomes a part of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think Batman's story realizes that a lot, and it gets pretty meta a lot of the times where Batman realizes that he is the sum of his villains and what he's fighting, and it defines him. And then as such, does he become part of the villainy, right? Because without would the villains be?
So exactly. Then we get and into without the whole villains, what would he be?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you see the new one? You guys?
I did.
The Robert Pattinson.
Yes, with Robert Pattinson.
And Jim, did you see
that? No, I have not.
Okay.
Is it good?
Cassie, what's your review?
It was all right. It was okay. It wasn't my favorite. A lot of people loved it. And I think maybe I went into it with higher expectations. That's something that I always have to struggle to manage, your expectations going into things. I'm a little bit of an empath, I suppose, and I take a lot of other people's opinions going into something and when I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's hard not to.
Right. So I built it up and I'm watching and I'm kind of waiting for it to hit the way that other people have said it was going to. And it never quite did for me, but it was good. Robert Pattinson is just a brilliant actor. He does very well. I liked the Catwoman quite a bit. I thought her portrayal was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I think just the plot needed something more interesting going on is how I felt. So
what I like with a lot of comic book characters is the characters are continually being interpreted. And sometimes I fixate on like Frank Miller's Batman or his Daredevil or Todd McFarlane's Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, these become redefining the characters, and sometimes I get fixated like, oh, they'll never do a better Batman than,
you know
what I mean?
And I'm so in love with Tim Burton's Batman movies. Oh, I mean, they're just that whole vibe. Like, how can you beat it? So, but you have to open up your heart to the new possibilities. Yeah. Right?
That's so hard.
I like the new Batman. I don't know that it's my favorite, but I think the gold standard for me is still probably The Dark Knight, the Christopher Nolan run of Batman movies with Christian Bale as Batman. But I like that the character is so wide open to all sorts of different mm-hmm. interpretations, from the 60s camp version to Michael Keaton to this new one, which is, I didn't really see how they could come up with a fresh take on the character, but they did. It's a different portrait of that world, which is also very interesting in the same way that in a different way than all the other ones have been.
Right. And I love how Marvel really opened up, like officially opened up the multiverse idea.
Yep.
And said, it's everything all of the time and any possibility is real and true. And that just, again, makes it more inclusive. Anyone can find their place. What about my Batman in my universe? What does that look like? So really neat how that's become part of the standard for comic book universe.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go back and talk a little bit more about Sandemonium. And let's encourage parents to come along and see what the community looks like. And, you know, I remember when Dungeons and Dragons first came out, ooh, it was something scary. People were going over the edge and not coming back. And, ooh, you play Dungeons and Dragons. How is your psyche? And, I mean, let's celebrate who we are. And if you're a Pokemon character, live it.
You know? Absolutely. No, humans are always so into finding something to persecute. And for whatever reasons, Dungeons and Dragons did become that that target for that. And I think a lot of nerds, when they start to express themselves, when they start feeling different, they can start to feel almost persecuted in their own way, too. And so this is an opportunity to create a safe space where we're celebrating your unique interests. We're celebrating each other. You're going to meet people, other Pokemon trainers there. When I carry my Duncan at Sandemonium.
No, wait, hold it. What's a Duncan?
He's my Pokemon. He's my Bulbasaur. I named him Duncan after Duncan Idaho from Doom. I got layers. And that people come up, oh my gosh, Bulbasaur is so cute, and it's immediately a friend. And we see each other again at future Sandemonium events, and we're recognizing each other as friends from this event, and we're connecting online on our Discord community. We're continuing the conversations and saying, hey, I saw you in Sandemonium. We were into this. Do you want to meet up and play Pathfinder? Who wants to do a Dungeons and Dragons campaign? So it's this initial spark that allows us to continue our relationships outside of Sandemonium as well. And of course, parents should come. Parents should come and get down with their nerdy selves. I know some of you parents are out there who want to sit down and play board games with your kids. Maybe you'll find a new one. Maybe you'll like unstable unicorns or exploding kittens. We've got a lot of really fun games that you guys can explore together. It's going to be a great time.
I have not heard of either of those games.
The possibilities are endless.
Exploding kittens. Okay. That's a good, it's a good title. It's catchy.
Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
This is a video game?
It's a card game that you play at the table together. So, we've got tabletop games and we've got video games going on at Sandemonium. I think we'll have Exploding Kittens. We may have Munchkin. Munchkin is a really fun card game that kind of brings in the role-playing aspect. So you're like little D&D-inspired characters that are Munchkins, and you play them to build up your character and adventure together and like win loot and things like that. So a lot of new things to explore. Be careful. You might go overboard and get really passionate about it. You might just become a nerd.
Is there a ceremony to have nerddom bestowed upon one, or how does one become a nerd?
If you need or would like a ceremony, I'm sure we could arrange one for you, Jim.
No.
That's part of it too. I mean, we're here building the world, and we're making it, we're forming it into something that allows us to celebrate. So yes, if we want to find somebody that has a night to bestow your nerddom upon you, I'm sure that's something we could probably find at Sandemonium.
I don't know if I ever had it established, that at a certain point I could say I became a nerd. But I still love comic books, and I don't know how many people my age still looks forward to and reads them and rereads them. I go back and I'll reread a Frank Miller run of Daredevil from 158 till his rise of Elektra in 168, and then her death in 181. Oh, my heart is broken. Mm-hmm. To find somebody else who is on that wavelength with me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back to Sandemonium. Anybody here want to talk about Elektra? Solo universe.
I've read those books, Jim. That's probably the best run of Daredevil comic books that there is.
I believe it is. Oh, good.
Yeah.
We bonded.
Yeah. That's the one that they keep trying to remake. And they never get it right on on screen. I think they do it too early. You know, I mean, like in the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie that came out, years and years and years ago, that the story was about, it was that Elektra story. And it's like, that can't be the first one. That's the, you got to have this character established and then go back to his early relationship. That's my theory on Elektra and Daredevil. Anyway,
I'm just so full of joy right now because this is exactly what I mean. Sandemonium has opened up this mode of conversation for you two to start bonding over over this just right now outside of the event.
On the air, no less. You know, I'm sure our listeners are going, "Oh gosh, they're going to talk about Elektra and Daredevil again." But
this is the space and the time to do it. This is when we're celebrating those things, and so I'm just over here beaming watching you guys nerd out, and you get to see that the whole time at Sandemonium. Just you look in any direction and people are connecting and enjoying these little worlds that have been formed with us and for us. Sandemonium is the community. It's not the event. It's the people that desire that time and space to do this. And we wouldn't be doing events like this weekend if it weren't for that community seeking out the opportunity. So we are the youth, we are the old, we are the adults, parents.
She looked at me when she said old. I'd be sort of curious. I don't know the etymology of the word nerd. You know, what I found interesting, you know, someone's a nerd, but then you just used it as a verb to nerd out. You know, that I'm wondering if it's an acronym like snafu or something like that for nerd. I don't know enough behind that. I'm quite sure there's someone out there in Radioland who knows the etymology. And I'm sure the Oxford English Dictionary would have it.
I would. Yes. I can look that up during our next musical break.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Let's take a musical break and we'll come back with Nerd, and then we'll close out with Cassie. Here's a Halloween song. Needs no introduction. Play it, Jack.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers, not Keepers, with the Monster Mash from 1962. One of the great one-hit wonders. I think they did try to follow it up with some other Monster Mash type song.
I have it on a CD of Halloween hits, along with Ghostbusters and things like that, and the theme from Batman, and great fun. We're here with Cassie Kozarik from Pandemonium, Sandemonium at the library, noon to 4 this Saturday. And Jack, what did you find out about the word nerd?
I will tell you. The Oxford English Dictionary is out of date, I would say. A foolish or contemptible person who lacks social skills or is boringly studious, similar to or a synonym for a dweeb, a geek, an anorak, or a Poindexter. Then there's also the use as a verb to engage in or discuss a technical field obsessively or with great attention to detail, to nerd out, as we mentioned earlier. But also, the Wikipedia article is extensive and shows us that the nerd first appeared in print in a Dr. Seuss book, If I Ran the Zoo, in which Gerald McGrew claims that he would like to collect a Nurkle, a nerd, and a seersucker too for his imaginary zoo. That's 1950. In 1951, it was already in use as a synonym for drip or square in Detroit, Michigan. and had spread far and wide.
Whoa, really localized.
What a drip.
By the early 1960s.
To be a Detroit drip.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then at some point, with the rise of Silicon Valley, the nerdy stereotype began to be reclaimed. So sometime probably in the 1990s was when it started to turn around.
Probably with the rise of technology, handheld devices and different things like that. Let's talk a little bit more about Saturday's event. Is there an entry? Is there an admission fee?
There's no fee. It's a totally free event once again. So you can just stop by for 5 minutes if you want. No skin off your back, just to check it out. And then, of course, you can just stay for the entire event after you decide to stop by. We also have mini painting that will be free there as well. That'll be a feature from the library. So mini painting is a lot like model painting. It's for tabletop miniatures. So the tiny characters, maybe about 2 inches tall, and you take the time to assemble and paint these miniatures. Brendan at the library has an amazing miniature program that he kind of runs, and he'll have a whole station set up. It's a fan favorite for sure, Sandemonium, where after running around and maybe over socializing, you can go kind of tone it down a little bit with some painting. Really amazing artwork comes out of that activity as well. So stop by to check out the mini painting, the homemade bow, our keynote speaker, Michael Sayer, the senior designer for Pathfinder. And then the library will have all of its normal operations going on as well. We'll have the VR room open. There'll be a manga reading corner, another really good chill event, so people can go read manga, which is Japanese comic books, essentially. And our video game tournament, we've got a Rocket League video game tournament planned, 2v2. Rocket League, for those who don't know, is a video game where you drive a car that plays soccer, essentially, and it's very chaotic. It's super fun. So we'll have that tournament going. Both the Rocket League tournament and the cosplay contest will enjoy prizes. For those who win the cosplay contest, there will be a $50 cash prize, and the Rocket League tournament will have a dice tower 3D print and a set of dice as the grand prize. So that's pretty exciting.
Cool. Do you know what time the cosplay contest will be?
We'll kick it off around 3 o'clock. So it'll be our final big
hurrah. As the event is winding down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One of the things. We should give a shout out to the library. It's located on Cedar and Division. And I think its address is on Cedar, but really I think more of it's on Division. A little bit about the support you've received from the library.
Oh my gosh, they're giving us the space, the time for everybody to gather. They are donating the time and the space to make Sandemonium Light happen at all. There's so many resources at the library that the fandom community can enjoy. Like, you can access several comic books on their Libby app for free. That's free access to comics. That's amazing. They've got VR available for people to try out.
Virtual reality.
Yep, that's right. Virtual reality. That's huge. That's a huge next step in video gaming and general interaction on a digital platform. They also have 3D printing available. I think you can go get a 3D print model for something like $1 at the library any day. It's a really amazing resource. And then, of course, we wouldn't be nerds if we didn't freaking love books, right? So we're always gathering at the library, checking out what's new on the shelves. And we get immense support from them. They're an amazing community. Everybody that I've worked with at the library is just awesome. So they are happy to have Sandemonium, and we're happy to be there and support them too with bringing more people to the library with our event. It's pretty amazing.
Anybody else you want to shout out besides the library here?
Yeah, so we've got some pretty major partners that help make Sandemonium possible. Sandpoint Gaming LLC is the future of gaming in the 7B area. They don't have their storefront set up yet, but one day Dalton hopes to open up his board game store and hub for gaming. So he's a huge supporter. He's donating the Dice Tower for the Rocket League tournament prize. Keoki Marketing and Media provides the space for our website. They do web design and graphic design here in town. They're also very well known for print media, like the Standpoint Magazine. Keoki's awesome. And then Serve a Burger has decided to sponsor us this year as well, and they're awesome. I mean, you need a good place to fuel up for all your gaming and cosplay, so they've got the best burgers and shakes in the 7B. You got to go see Serve a Burger. They're awesome.
They're not going to be there, are they?
I really hope they'll come by.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be there serving food.
Yeah, you can't get a burger at the library.
Yeah. But it's also, I mean, it's part of it is their event as a sponsor, so I really hope that they come.
Cool. And you mentioned that Keoki designed a website. What's that? Or what's the address?
7bcon.com.
Okay.
And our website is the best place to learn more about Sandemonium, to get in touch with us if you want to be involved as a vendor for future Sandemonium events, if you want to be involved as a volunteer, if you'd like to present a panel at Sandemonium, anything like that, you can reach us through the website. That's 7bcon.com. There are also links to our social media and our community Discord. So if you'd like to get online and chat, Discord's like a chat community. And then you can find us there. Once more, that's 7bcon.com. So type that into your URL and you'll get Sandemonium. It's a beautiful website that our board member Ethan has put together with Keoki's resources. So we appreciate them a ton.
Well, Cassie, we want to thank you. And will you keep us in mind when you have future Sandemonium events? And we'll love to have you back on.
Oh, thank you. It was so good to hang out with you guys this morning. I would love to come back on. And I hope that you guys stop by the library on Saturday.
Okay, we'll try to do that. 12 to 4, Sandemonium Light. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. As we say goodbye to Cassie, we've got a song queued up. And then we'll do some upcoming events. This is from Crash Test Dummies from 1991. They're a Canadian group, and this is called Superman's Song.